Forthright Cider, Youngsville. Ciders and mead crafted with locally sourced ingredients. Supporting community charities with a portion of sales through the Solidarity Cider Program. ForthrightCYDER.com. And from listeners like you.
Welcome to the Local Edition, news and information. It's keeping you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And tonight, once again, I think it's Wednesday. Yes, it's Wednesday. We'll be checking in with James B. Huntington for the latest on jobs and the economy around the country, around the world, and in our listening area. And we'll ask that question. Is the four-day work week finally within our grasp? Can you imagine? But first, on a Wednesday, we always check in with Liam Mayo from the River Reporter for our weekly news roundup. Liam, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Jason. Thanks for having me back.
So, I guess we should start. I guess we'll start with COVID. Why not? Because, well, we're still living with it. The pandemic's still with us. Numbers are going up. And, you know, yesterday was Giving Tuesday. How are nonprofits doing with this lingering pandemic?
They're under a lot of the same struggles as the rest of the world. They're finding it harder to find volunteers. It's harder to just do... conduct normal business. But a sort of a particular issue that nonprofits have been facing that we've been checking in with is an inability to find or an inability to keep rental space. Renters have been sort of hard hit all around by the pandemic and by decreased revenue, therefore decreased ability to pay rent. But a lot of businesses and homeowners have had programs specifically for them to help with rent. There's been eviction moratoriums, there's been PPE loans for businesses, and there's been straight up a lot of rental assistance straight for homeowners, where nonprofits haven't really had those same sorts of programs for them. So we've been checking in with two nonprofits locally that have been struggling with this. Rocky's Reusables in Liberty is a thrift store associated with Rocky's Refuge, an animal shelter. And the thrift store sort of funds the animal shelter portion of that duo, but it has been unable to sort of keep up its rental space with the pandemic. It originally was going to have to move out earlier this year. That deadline has been extended, so they're currently still in their space, but the rent has gone up for that, and they're going to have to move out, and they're still trying to figure out how they're going to keep that half of the nonprofit going further on. There's another nonprofit we've been checking in with, the Artists Market Community Center in Chihola, Pennsylvania, and they recently sort of didn't exactly give away, but just had an art show with sort of lower costs, trying to get rid of a lot of art because they expected to lose their space. They called it an orphaned art show because the artwork was going to not have a place to store it anymore with them losing their rent. And they've managed to figure it out now, but it was in flux for a little while. So there are solutions here, and there are so far... We haven't heard about nonprofits specifically going under because of this, but it's just one more level of uncertainty in an already very uncertain environment.
Yeah. I mean, it's what we know is going on overall. So it's good to hear those details about, you know, exactly what's happening with some local nonprofits, even if the news that we're hearing about the local nonprofits itself is not good. So, Another casualty of the pandemic also has been the food banks, and frankly, that's been an issue that we were covering right along from the beginning. Is there any update on that situation with food banks, food pantries, things like that?
Just has been a bit exacerbated by some recent cost of food increases. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the cost of food overall rose about 0.9% in September and 0.9% again in October. And that pinches food pantries sort of from both ends. On the one hand, rising costs of food means that more people will need the resources offered by food pantries, so there will be more demand for the food from food pantries. And on the other hand, it's harder for them to get food, or the food they're getting will be more expensive, so the same amount of funding will bring in less food. So they both need more food and can get less food because of the rising cost of food. And yeah, they're just having a rough time with that overall.
Yeah. Any word on like year end efforts? It's like, I mean, this has all shown us that like food, people have been struggling to make ends meet anyway. People have been struggling to put food on the table anyway. There's a food scarcity issue before the pandemic. The pandemic made all that worse. So more than any other, more than ever, it's worth saying that, like, you know, feeding people is not just an issue for the holidays. Yet here we are. We're heading into the cold months. We just had Thanksgiving. This is when people are thinking about feeding their neighbors and stuff. Have you heard anything about any year-end food drives or any efforts specifically tied to these last few weeks of the year?
Yeah, I believe there are year-end food drive efforts, but I've been hearing similar to what you've talked about or what you just mentioned, that there is still a need for food year-round even after those holiday food drives are over. So while it's nice to have the donations for the end of the year, that's a problem that doesn't go away when it's not the holidays anymore and when it's out of people's consciousness. And the other half of that is food donations are only kind of half the struggle at the moment. There's also, operating expenses like, just paying people to distribute the food, the actual distribution of the food, and a lot of that is getting more expensive as well. Like with the rising cost of fuel, it's more expensive to transport the food to where it will be needed. So food drives and those kinds of donations are really helpful and really great, but it's not going to solve the bind that they're in necessarily.
No, and we were already hearing this from a number of organizations. It's worth pointing out if someone's thinking of donating to like a food pantry or food bank or somebody that's doing the effort to keep people fed, that many of these organizations would prefer financial donations anyway because they can use the money more efficiently to feed people. That may not be the case for, you know, the small food donation pantry like at your local church, but then again, it may be. So you always have to check when you're looking for things like that. And I just wanted to mention that there, but we'd been hearing that from a number of organizations that, you know, they can stretch the buck further. And like you said, they've got operating costs.
Yeah.
In other news, and this like seems like everything we're talking about tonight just, you know, keeps circling back to COVID, and we'll just mention, I mean, everybody's heard that there's another variant out there. We haven't heard too much concrete about this variant or what the implications are. Nonetheless, it seems like it's kind of hanging over us, especially as we head into these colder months. And also, you know, COVID cases have been going up in the area. I see the number following the holiday, a bit of a dip around the holiday because people weren't doing as much work at public health. But for Sullivan County Public Health, according to their dashboard, see the number of those on quarantine and isolation ticking up again. Active cases ticking up again, thank goodness. There have been no new deaths, but there are 10 people in the hospital and 2 patients in the ICU. Do you have any news about the COVID numbers in the area?
Yeah, and I guess first to touch on the Omicron variant, Governor Kathy Hochul released a statement on Friday talking about the Omicron variant and saying, we've been testing people in New York but haven't found the Omicron variant in New York as of yet. So there's one, I guess, as close to good news as we can get during this pandemic. But the numbers themselves are pretty bad news. The 7-day rolling average of new cases, or just cases in Sullivan County, has hit a little over 44 as of yesterday, according to the CDC's dashboard, which is the just flat out highest number for that statistic since the start of the pandemic. There was a very close spike back in January, but it didn't quite hit this high. So it's a spike in cases. We've brought the number of cases in Sullivan County as of yesterday is like 332, with 600 something in quarantine. So the numbers are spiking, but it's not just spiking relative to, say, the month of November or the past 3 months. It's spiking relative to Sullivan County's entire history with the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the highest since, you know, January. January was the peak of the second wave of the pandemic, and I mean, if the rate is higher than has been any other point, I mean, that's just a serious fact to point out and something worth thinking about, especially as, again, we heard this all last fall, by the way, even as numbers were picking up, that as you head into the winter, more people are going to be heading indoors. So people will be in contact with others. We have all of these socializing type holidays for a solid month here heading into the winter. So this is not the best time, to, if ever there is, to see these numbers going up.
And it's not the best time to see these numbers going up. And you might think that the vaccination rate is going to help with that. But we're doing all right with vaccination rate. We've had like 41,040 completed vaccinations, according to the dashboard as of now. But then you consider that in a county of 75,000 people. So that's a little over half. So there's still a lot of unvaccinated people in this county.
Sullivan County yesterday had a one-day local record of 75 residents testing positive for COVID, according to the state. That's the headline right there. Liam, the first bit of non-COVID news that we got, did you hear the word from Sullivan County that they certified the election results? They got official election results for us right now?
Yes, I heard that. And I've been looking through the results. They're out on Sullivan County's website. The only results that are currently pending are Fallsburg, because that still has to go through several court discussions. The rest of them are out there.
So that's just something. And I think that's worth being news, not just because if there was any races people still weren't clear about or hadn't been official, they can go and check about it. It's also, and not just news because, again, yeah, Fallsburg, town of Fallsburg results are still pending. But it's also news to keep in mind the next time there's an election. This is nearly a month after Election Day, you know, a good 3.5 weeks after Election Day, when just local races are actually certified. So just pointing that out there for people so we could keep that in the back of our minds next time there's an election, about how long it really does take to count the votes because there's absentee ballots and everything else. So, thanks for pointing that out for us, Liam. Any key thing that'll be out in tomorrow's edition of the River Reporter before we go?
I guess just to circle back around to the food banks, we have a whole article on it, including what types of things food banks look for in food donations and what types of things they can't really accept. So if you're interested in donating, check out the River Reporter.
All right. The story continues there on the pages of the River Reporter. Liam Mayo, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Stay warm. Talk to you later. And a reminder, you get to hear Liam Mayo again this weekend when he does the local news for us for New York and Pennsylvania. Those headlines at play on the weekend. Keep an ear out there, and we'll do our weekly news roundup again coming up next week. This is Radio Catskill. You're listening to the local edition. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Erin West. Join us this Saturday as we host the Berryville Tree Lighting. We've planned a fun evening of music and holiday cheer for you to enjoy right from the comfort of your own living room. We'll be broadcasting live on WJFF, the Berryville Tree Lighting.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
Here we go once again. At this time on a Wednesday night, we want the latest on jobs and the economy around the country and around our listening area. And for that, we turn to James B. Huntington right here on Work Shift Live. Hello, James.
Good evening, Jason. Good evening, listeners.
Well, did you have a good Thanksgiving week off, James? James, how you doing?
Yes, I was in Las Vegas, of all places, and I picked up a point or two that's pertinent to the economy, actually, while I was there.
Oh, really? Well, let's start with that, then. Which point is that?
Okay, I noticed that prices were higher, even by Las Vegas standards, but they had very few outages, and I think what they must have been doing is paying the employees well enough so they would stay on the job, so that's going to be what will happen in order to not have a lot of closings, especially of restaurants. There are a zillion relatively low-paid service workers there, and they were on the job. So I think if you want to make sure you can stay in business, you should follow their lead and get the workers on the job.
Okay. Well, there you go. You're seeing it out there in the real world.
Oh, yes.
You're seeing the impact of that.
Well, Las Vegas is kind of surreal, but I think...
it's a real world. But you know what I'm saying, especially in a service industry, a service city there, you know, what does it take to keep the wheels turning, the roulette wheels in this case? You know, you need to have people or you're not going to make money with tourism. You need to have those workers.
That's true.
So, what else can we talk about? So I saw this headline, and this one jumps right out at me. The four-day work week may finally be within our grasp. I would love to hear what you think the likelihood of that is.
Yeah, so there was an article with that almost exact headline in Sunday's New York Times. It's kind of strange. We've had cubicle jobs often de facto requiring or people choosing to work at them anyway, 50 or 60 hours a week. And then we're getting comments about cutting down the work week from 40 hours to 32. I don't know. I don't see it really happening that way. What I think would happen, maybe the compromise people can work out is sort of agree that people will still work 40 hours, but they only have to come in the office or whatever 4 days. We still have a long way to go as far as building up a healthy line between when you're at home and working and when you're at home and you're not working. So there's a lot of work to do, so to speak, that businesses will have to do to get this to be effective for them, because it doesn't really square at all with the trends that are happening otherwise.
Yeah, and let me say, too, the trends, or at least anecdotal evidence or real evidence if it's out there, from my impression of things, why I'm skeptical of a headline like this is because there's also so many other headlines talking about how people are working more and more. People are taking their work home with them, as you were talking about. Even before the pandemic hit, there was this issue of people never turning off. There's a real question of, you know, when are people working? When are they not? It seems that implicitly, you know, employers expect to be able to reach their employees and have their employees engaged and involved pretty much at any time. And then you turn around and see a headline like, well, maybe we'll have a four-day work week. It just doesn't seem compatible.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to have 3 days instead of just two with workers at home but still getting contacted by their workplaces? Is it, it doesn't seem like a big deal. And back when this was such a news item, there were no PCs and there were no cell phones and no internet, and there's no reason to think that people would be dragged into all this extra work in this way. So it's, I don't know. I think if you got everyone in a room or even a few well-chosen people and they talked about this, it would just be pure chaos.
Now, another item that's really popped up, a word that's been on a lot of people's lips for a long time this year has been inflation, but I think it's really picked up the last couple of weeks. Seems like there's more information out there. But inflation, the question of inflation in some ways now has risen to the level of a political issue or political football, you know, where people
insisting. I mean, we have all these Republicans who are trying to use it as a lever to pull Biden down, but it's really not to do with Biden. It has to do with the supply chain problems. It has to do with workers being paid more. That's really enough to explain the 5 or 6% we're getting right now anyway, but there's a lot of strange mystification about it out there. We did have Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, admitting really that it might well not go away at any time next year. We don't know. We don't really know what's happening with the supply chain crisis. I don't have any up-to-date information. Haven't seen anything on that at all, how much it's improved. I know it must have improved somewhat, but we get other things that are tied in closely are manufacturing, and they're U.S. manufacturers are doing superbly well lately. They've got all kinds of orders. If they can get the workers to show up, if they can pay enough, they can do a great deal of business, because obviously if the container ships are messed up and such, it gives an advantage to companies that can just ship it right from the U.S. where it's made. So that's looking very good. This might be the best thing that's happened to manufacturing in this country for a long, long time.
But as you said, just to highlight one thing that you said in there, which to me kind of is news, is that there's been this sort of debate over, is the inflation temporary or not? And the line from the Fed and others had been that, well, this is temporary. And I mean, this is a change this past week or so that Fed Chair is now saying that this isn't necessarily temporary.
Well, I think it's still temporary. I don't think it's going to go back to the way it was in the 60s when it was consistently 5%, let alone the double-figure stuff we had in the late 70s and early 80s. I don't think there's any reasonable thought that it's going to do that. But it's just like we have a mess on our hands, and it will take a while to clean it up. And workers are quitting their jobs more and more and refusing to take lower paid jobs and such, and that's going to be inflationary right there. So what I'm trying to say is that the reasons for the inflation are not the typical ones for inflation coming and going over the last 50 or 100 years or so with this. They're different. If those problems continue, we will have more inflation. But no, there's nothing at the base of the American economy that's changed inflation from 2% to 5%. We have known causes for all of this, and there's really no evidence beyond that there's more going on.
And when you get past those causes, even though they keep lingering, then it will resolve. And it sounds like you're also saying it's not the gloom and doom outlook that some folks would imply with this news.
No, I mean, we don't know. I mean, the situation where the workers could get more so. I mean, the inflation could go a little bit higher, but we're not in anything resembling a danger of, say, 5 years of inflation where we are. I really think 2 years at the soonest, or two years from now at the latest, we're going to be going back to our 2% or so. We just have some things to clean up, which won't be cleaned up today or tomorrow.
And like you say, like these causes are part of, like, again, nobody really knows the full impact of these uncertain times that we've been living in. They keep coming back or lingering in different ways. But that said, is the economy picking up? Is it gaining speed?
Well, the manufacturing is good. The unemployment claims hit a 50-year low, amazingly enough. It was just a hair under 200,000. Now, that's not hugely better than it was before the pandemic. Generally, typical weeks were around 250,000. But this was unusually low this time. And, yes, so people are working. The jobs situation is getting better in a more broad-based way. People are keeping their jobs. There's not so much churn, which there was for so long, even after the vaccine came out. The vaccines came out. We have people able to stay on their with the jobs they take, which has been a real change, really been a problem for the last 5 or 10 years. So then we have the manufacturing thing I mentioned, and generally it's quite good, really. And we're projecting, I'm seeing projections of around 500,000 net new non-farm payroll positions. That jobs report, of course, comes out this coming Friday. It's really only a day and a half from now, and we'll get more word on that. But the last jobs report was very strong, and I expect this one will be also.
Okay, and but you're looking at another long-time record in terms of jobless claims?
That was it. That was it.
That was it. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know how much it means, but it could go lower if companies are consistently hanging on to workers. But then the wild card here is the Omicron thing, which we don't know. We're seeing a lot of ink being burned on this without anyone really knowing anything.
Yeah.
That's why the stock market dumped 1,100 in the last 2 days. It's really nervousness about what this thing is going to turn into. But right now, don't be scared, because we just don't know. There's nobody right now in the world who knows how bad Omicron will be or won't be.
Yeah, so I'd go as far as to say this is the big known unknown of the last quarter of the year. Because we know it's out there, but we don't know anything else. So
I mean, within the week, we'll know much more. It may not turn into anything. It may fizzle. It may be a small number of cases. It may not be anywhere near as infectious as, say, the Delta was.
Well,
but
you know,
the market does not like uncertainty, and it told us that.
And you said if businesses are able to retain workers, and that's another if. And we've only got 1 minute, but in the last minute, let me ask you. A lot of workers are quitting. Which workers are most likely to be quitting at this time?
Well, there was a Fast Company study on that, and they were finding that the Great Resignation is starting to hit the best workers, the experienced ones, the ones who went to their companies for a long time, the highly rated ones. Those were the kind of people who were happy enough with their existing jobs before that they didn't quit them, but now they're starting to. This situation has gone long enough so that they can be confident that they can get something better if they're working for somebody who isn't coming through with enough money. And there's a question with a lot of these companies whether they've been giving the kind of raises and such to existing workers as they're giving to people who are just starting out. And they're well aware of that. Believe you me, I mean, if you're not getting paid the same as new people coming in, you're not going to be happy about that.
No,
and
you're going to
notice people like that who are quitting.
Right. And it sounds like further evidence that this is just a shakeup that's going truly across the board. James Beunnington, that's it. That's all the time we got. But we thank you so much for being here with us. And we invite folks to join us next time for Work Shift Live. Thank you.
What a way to make a living.
Okay, and that's going to do it for the local edition. News and information, keeping you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. We'll be back tomorrow evening, and we'll do it all over again. Coming up, we've got Trailer Talk with Sabrina Artell. Don't go anywhere.